It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for Ask Ross, which is brought to you by the 409tailgateclub.com for the best barbecue around. If you've tried their barbecue sauces and rubs, you know what I'm talking about, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Tremendous.
Love it.
This isn't very important to our audience, Ross and Bob, but I just got word from Andrew that he is planning to make an appearance here at the studio in a few weeks.
With food. For a minute, I thought you were talking about Che. I don't know if Ross really needs to hear that.
We're talking about the important Andrew.
All right. Yeah.
The one who brings food.
That would be an important distinction.
All right. It is time to ask Ross. I have in my hand our list of questions. All right. Where do we start here? Joseph from Scranton wants to know, James Franklin's known for having his kickers angle it to a corner, but trying to keep it from being a touchback. Taking into account the rule that wherever you field the ball, you can take it out at the 25, do you agree with the policy?
Say it again.
He angle kicks at Penn State. Sometimes it leads to kicking the ball out of bounds instead of just kicking it straight and trying to kick it into the end zone. Do you agree with that philosophy?
Because if you just fair catch it, if you're trying to pin him, they can still get the ball at the 25.
But they're okay with that.
Yeah, but I think what they're
not okay with is a guy catching the ball in the middle of the field in the field of play. Like if you had a guy that you could guarantee would get a touchback, I think they'd probably be okay with that. Well, but usually whether it's punts or kicks, directional kicking is very important. I know from the NFL, it's really important because if you kick off or punt from the numbers to the sideline, even hash to sideline in college, but numbers to the sideline, there's really not that big of an area you have to cover because the guy's not going to try to come all the way across the field typically. If you kick it down the middle of the field, there's a lot of territory to cover. There's a lot of space there. So they try to do that if they can.
I think the angst is too many kickoffs went out of bounds.
Six last year.
Yeah, that would be unacceptable to me. Okay. So I would say that I don't agree with it.
Okay. The new kicker coming in from Virginia Tech, he was one of the best in the country, I believe, in kicking for touchbacks.
We will believe it when we see it. That's right.
All right. Next up is Mike from Carlisle. Ross, in the last couple years, Penn State's O-line has made positive stride, become much improved. With that said, I feel like they're still a rung below where they could or should be. We know about the interior line, but with the addition of Walker, Thorpe, and Miranda, do you feel they can take the next step in becoming a dominant line?
I think that they have recruited guys that have a chance to be, from a talent perspective, first-team All-Big Ten guys and maybe higher draft picks, like Rasheed Walker, like C.J. Thorpe, like Nana Asiju. But unfortunately, you know, Thorpe's technique has not gotten there. Hopefully it is now. And he's flip-flop sides of the ball. You know, Asiju obviously is unfortunate. We haven't really seen Rasheed Walker yet, so that remains to be seen. The one that disappoints me, I would say, is probably Will Fries. Because I just did not see the development and the growth from 2017 to 2018 from Fries. Like, I really thought, after watching him in 17, I really thought in 18 that Fries would really be a good player, and he really wasn't. I mean, he was a liability at times, and he's got everything you're looking for in terms of size, movement skills. So that's one where I didn't see the development that I was quite looking for, and I would agree with them. Now, I would say when you look at Penn State's guys, they're not – you know, they're not as talented as like Alabama or Ohio State's offensive line. But I think with guys like Thorpe and Walker, they have a chance to get there. Just might take a little bit of patience. I don't think they'll get there this year, but maybe in a couple years. You know, maybe when if Mennett and Fries both come back for their fifth year and Thorpe's a returner and Walker's a returner and all they do is swap out Steven Gonzalez and Miranda, they could have a really good offensive line in 2020. But we said that a year ago about 2019 if Bates and McGovern both came back, and they didn't.
Right. Gotcha. Let's stay on the offensive line theme. This, I'm wondering if this is a buddy of yours, Ross. Kyle from Reading.
Okay.
Says, over the past few
I would need more information than that, but go ahead.
How about, well, judging by his email address, Kyle Wagner?
Is that specific enough?
No. Yeah,
I don't,
no.
Anyway.
I will tell you this. You got a darn good chance of getting the gift basket unless this question stinks.
Well,
I represent Reading always.
Okay. Kyle from Reading asks, over the past few years of breaking down prospects, which high school offensive line recruit has or had the skill sets you wish you had the most? He gives as an example the power of Thorpe, size of Nana, the overall athleticism of Walker. So what recruit have you seen that has skills that you wish you had?
Rasheed Walker.
Yeah.
I mean, Rasheed Walker was the best one. Although Nana got to play tight end in high school, which would have been pretty sweet. I was pretty jealous watching Nana's.
How about Mennett?
Didn't you say Mennett played some tight end too?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think, you know, my vision is skewed towards the next level and getting paid to play football. And Rasheed Walker has the ability, I think, to get drafted higher and make more money than Michael Mennett does. You know, I think Michael's really a center guard only, really probably even a center only. He's not very long. His arms aren't very long. I think he's got tremendous athleticism that I would have loved to have had that I didn't have. His shuttle time, like when he went to Penn State's camp, was like out of control, like better than some DBs that Penn State had offered scholarships to. So his change of direction, athleticism, I would highly covet. But total package, I'd probably go Rasheed Walker. Although I didn't think this based on watching his high school video, but Connor McGovern has a lot of really good traits. Very powerful. He's a lot bigger and stronger than you realize, a lot longer. I mean, Connor McGovern is an excellent, excellent prospect also. You know, that I didn't see, you know, his high school video was him playing center against 150-pound nose guards in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre and just picking these kids up. And like, you know, it was hard to see that Connor would become what he became when you watch the video. He just killed him. I mean, I felt bad for the poor kids.
Is that one of the reasons why it's difficult to project offensive linemen? So often in high school, these big guys, it's a mismatch physically with their size.
Yeah, I think that's a fairness. I think that's fair. I think overall, though, Rasheed Walker.
Okay.
I mean, I'm answering the question.
Yes, we'll go with that. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com, where great barbecue meets great wine. All right, let's move on to our next question. Rob from Wall, New Jersey. Seems that Penn State's offering a lot of Lackawanna College football players. I feel it might be hard to win with a team full of JUCO players. Can Penn State be competitive if they're fielding JUCO athletes? He's overstating it, but
yeah. The answer is absolutely yes, you can. And I think that they use the JUCO guys more for roster management and to fill in the blanks these days because of how much the culture has changed in terms of the transfer portal and stuff. It's almost like JUCOs are a second wave of free agency, if you will. It's a way that you can get a swing tackle in Anthony Wiggin immediately because they don't have anybody else that can be the swing tackle. I don't even know about this receiver, and I'm surprised, given how young Penn State is at receiver, that they felt the need. I mean, Penn State was his first offer. He must have been I never even heard of the kid in the 2020 class that they offered. He must have been unbelievable at that camp.
He must have done something to impress him. And what it struck me when I first saw JUCO, I was thinking this season, and I'm thinking, well, they have scholarships available, so it's like a one-year free agent. It makes sense, but he's not. He's in the 2020 class, so I wasn't sure about that one also. Time will tell.
That's a good point. Part of it, though, too, is they have these extra scholarships after they lost all these guys, and you can only take 25 high school kids anyway.
Right. Well, and at some point, someone even asked about giving a scholarship to that other kicker coming in, and I'm like, why not? You got the scholarships available. They're just unused. If you could bring a guy in for a year or two, why not?
Yeah, but they've been bumping up a bunch of walk-ons, too. I don't know, Bob, you would know that better than me, but they've bumped up a bunch of walk-ons.
I would say in an inordinate. Usually they do one, maybe two a year, and it just feels like now that number is doubled. It's usually – now it's more like three or four. I mean, when they put Chisena on scholarship in spring, that was the start of a nice little run.
I mean, but that's Lutz something they and a Snapper and Jan Johnson and
right. It's something they manage. You know, they have X number of available scholarships, and they could decide how they use them. They could keep the walk on and give it to a JUCO, which just means they have more players. All right, Bob's pointing at the clock to me.
Maybe try and get one more in, maybe.
Things moving. All right. Jerry from Arlington, Texas says, I would like your opinion, Ross, on why James Franklin doesn't get the respect I feel he deserves for both his coaching ability and management skills, especially from within the Penn State fan base.
That's a great question. And the answer is because Penn State fans have really, really high expectations based primarily on like the 80s and the early 90s. And that's kind of most of the Penn State fans, that's when their fandom peaked. So that's like the height of it. So they want like national championships and undefeated seasons. And a lot of people don't like his style because they're so used to Paterno and the quote-unquote Penn State way. I really believe those are the two biggest reasons.
Do you think there's also a situation when you get labeled a good recruiter, automatically you must not be a good
exit? Yeah, but who cares? I mean, it's
both to me. I'd rather
a good
recorder than anything else. Unless you
Giving him the win.
All right.
I'm giving him the
win. That's why I pushed for that last question. You're welcome,
I mean, there
are
other good questions.
Ross, you're welcome.
And sorry, Kyle from Reading, but that's a good question because I don't think Franklin does get the respect he deserves.
I think you're right, even though one of the things just came out recently, best coach in the Big Ten, but I think that was by default. Anyway, that's it for quarter number three. Stick with us. Quarter number four, we got a member of the Blue Band coming in.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.